Fred Film Radio, Scandinavian Film Festival, Australia.
This is Cristiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, and I'm in conversation with Christoph V. Meyer, the festival manager of the Icelandic Film Center in Reykjavik, who has curated the Scandinavian Film Festival presented by Palas in Australia. Good morning, Christoph. It's quite early in Reykjavik, right?
Oh, yes. It's a 10-hour difference. It's 8:31 in the morning, and it's probably 6:30 Australian time in the afternoon.
Yes, correct. So it's good morning for you and good evening for me. So, Christoph, thank you very much for your time and for being available to be interviewed by Fred. We really appreciate to have the opportunity to talk with someone like you with such a great exposure and experience with Nordic cinema. So we are talking here about the Scandinavian Film Festival in Australia, and of course this the Scandinavian Film Festival includes a section on Icelandic film, but we may want to talk about Nordic cinema in general if you wish.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Good. So I'll give a little bit of a background about this film festival in Australia, because it's a very interesting phenomenon. 8 years ago at the film festival in Cannes, the idea for a festival encompassing the best cinema from the Nordic countries was born, when the Palace Festival team attended the festival in France and met with the Scandinavian Films, which I understand is the umbrella organization that represents all five Nordic film institutes from Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and in Finland and Iceland. Am I right?
Correct.
So, and so the Scandinavian Film Festival was launched to present a curated selection for the Australian audience. And since then, the Scandinavian Film Festival has continued to showcase the very best of Nordic cinema from these five countries. So we would like to hear how you position Nordic cinema, similarities and differences among the films produced in these countries, because there are indeed some similarities because of a shared cultural and historic background, but probably differences outnumber similarities, right?
It's a really good question that you have there, Christiana. Yes, I mean, this is like, we, the Scandinavian films, or the Nordic films, of course, because Iceland and Finland is not part of Scandinavia, but the Nordic films in general, we promote our films. We are attending those big festivals like Toronto, Cannes, and Berlin, and Toronto. We have the common booth there, alongside the Nordic sales companies as well. But yes, there are similarities, and there are, you know, but each Nordic country has its own kind of voice or tone. I would say maybe the Finns and the Icelanders, they have this kind of sarcastic kind of humor. The same actually with the Norwegians. And the Swedes and the Danes have also this kind of a unique kind of voice. I would say Swedish cinema, it's really realistic, genuine. And the same with Danish films. The new use, I mean, we all have this kind of very believable stories that we are telling out to the international film world, but we do it in a very genuine kind of way. It's real life characters tackling, you know, daily life, and we can easily, and the international crowd can easily relate to that. It's sometimes a dark tone, like with the Icelandic films as well, but it's also like this kind of uplifting tone that you have, and in those kind of films, and for example, in Icelandic films, we make use of the language, of the landscape. And it's not being used just for the sake of portraying and showcasing a beautiful landscape. It has its own character. And then with the rest of the Nordic films, it's the same there. I mean, I look at serious films, but they still have an uplifting, feel-good elements in their films. I can just mention Another Round with Mads Mikkelsen, one of my favorite Nordic films from last year. Very serious undertone, but in between, like an uplifting, feel-good, you know, tone at the end of the film. And it's like life itself. It's serious, but also funny. And I think, you know, all of the Nordic films have it, their own kind of character. But at the same time, I think all the Nordic countries really pull it off in that sense, that they can actually tell you a very unique, believable story of just an ordinary person, a woman or a man, facing serious problems in their lives. But also, like, you have this kind of comic relief, also this kind of dark tone, but then also a nice combination of this kind of feel-good elements that you can see in those Nordic films. And this is quite unique. And I think, therefore, I think Nordic films are shining. We have all of the five countries, Nordic countries, I think we have created our own kind of image and identity that is now quite well known in the kind of international, market, I would say, without any doubt.
Yeah, it's actually very interesting what you have just said, because this is my reaction, my instinctive reaction when I go to the Scandinavian Film Festival, for instance, here in Australia, and watch films from different Scandinavian or Nordic countries. And even though there is a kind of a common denominator, I can tell when a film is from Sweden or when it's from Iceland or when it's from Finland, because they have distinctive characteristics and personalities. So I think you described very well similarities and differences. I actually agree with what you just said. Very interesting comment, Christoph.
Thank you. And I just want to also maybe mention another thing. Of course, all of us are quite known of, you know, we know this Nordic noir that everyone is talking about, you know, the Nordic crime series and films and all that. But like 6 years ago, I met one of my foreign colleagues, and I mentioned that particular genre to that particular person. But then again, I also mentioned that maybe that we should maybe also think about what could be the next, you know, big thing is basically saying Nordic noir, but supernatural noir, because I think we will see more films even from the Nordic countries that maybe will tackle folklore and drama. And this is because, you know, I don't know whether you've seen it, but it's streamed Netflix original series called Katla from Balthasar Kormákur on the 17th of June. It's spelled Katla, and that really plays with this kind of supernatural kind of, or, you know, not a supernatural kind of noir. And I think that could be something to reckon with. And for example, we have a film now in competition at the Cannes Film Festival and the Uncertain Regard section. It's called Lamp. It's a debut film by Valdemar Jansson. That really with a great Swedish actress, Numira Pass, and she actually speaks fluent Icelandic because many years back, she lived in Iceland for a few years with her family. So she speaks the language perfectly. But Lamp, in particular, I would say, is also very kind of another kind of film that you haven't maybe seen from Iceland before. It plays with the landscape, but it really, as I said before, it has its own character. But that particular film is also like a very kind of has this kind of supernatural drama tone, and it really, I think it's, I really hope that Australian audiences will be able to see that film in a few months' time in Australia. And this is something, a kind of a new kind of voice and tone that I haven't actually seen before. And that is maybe something that maybe the Nordics will maybe, who knows, play with in the near future.
Yes, sure. What you just said prompted me to reflect on an interesting phenomenon that we have been witnessing in recent years. I remember my first encounter with a Nordic film was Leningrad Cowboys Go America by Aki Kaurismäki. That was my first encounter with Nordic cinema, and we are talking about 1989, yes. So Nordic cinema has been around for a long, long time. But how would you explain the huge success in recent years of Nordic cinema, including highly successful TV series? What is, in your opinion, number one ingredient which created this huge success globally?
Good question. I think it's just portraying basically and also mapping out, or, you know, also like this kind of unique, the characterization or the, it's those films are very character driven. And I think what strikes out in that respect is that you see those stories, you watch those actors and those Nordic films, and so it clicks with you right immediately, because, you know, you can easily relate to what they're doing and how they're acting out. Because I stressed out on before in our interview is that I think that because it's very unique, it's very believable, it's very dialogue driven. You can easily, you know, it's what I love about Nordic cinema as well, is when you watch those type of films, there are sometimes things that you've been thinking about in your subconscious mind, and then suddenly you go and see a particular film, and then suddenly you see that in particular, you know, you see this kind of, you know, in terms of subject matter, and it's something that you have been thinking about yourself, and suddenly you see that in those kind of Nordic films. And I think it's because they are so believable, genuine, authentic. And that's, I think, strikes out in comparison with all the respected other great films from other countries. I mean, but compare and contrast, I would say what really makes me think about when I compare and contrast is that you can really see those characters. They are so real, flesh and blood, and, you know, they are facing grave problems in their life, and they need to solve it. But how they go through it, a trauma or like a loss or death, or but it's so, I would say, it's so believable. And that's, I think, what makes Nordic cinema so successful in recent years. And it has created this kind of identity and image. And I really would also like to tell you something about how, you know, it's also like very rich in terms of, you know, they can actually establish this kind of film culture and make people, you know, those who see those films, make them curious about your country. And 3 years ago, there was a quantitative research being done among tourists coming to Iceland, and 42.1 actually said the reason why they came to Iceland was because they saw this really rich, unbelievable Icelandic film in their own home country during a festival. And I'm saying we should really face on that, because it really creates you this kind of identity and image and establishes kind of curiousness about your country. But not only like films, I'm saying like literature, art, music. And this is really this kind of being in this kind of creative industry. I think it's really important. I mean, and it really, as I said before, it really creates this kind of curiosity about you, you know, about your country, and I think in the long run it really pays off, and therefore I think it's so important for you as the Scandinavian Film Festival in Australia. It's so important to establish that, just to be able to show to the Australians just the rich kind of films that you can, you know, see from the Nordic countries. And like they say, you build and they'll come. And it has, I think, created this awareness and this kind of identity, and people are really psyched to see Nordic films. And I would also say for my part, I would love to see even like a more like Australian cinema here in Iceland. And I actually mentioned it to one of those founders and director of the Reykjavik International Film Festival. I actually suggested the other day it would be great to showcase Australian cinema, or even films from New Zealand. But anyways, it's been on my bucket list to come to Australia, so I really hope that I will be able to do that as well.
you're right. I absolutely agree with you. I think the Nordic cinema tells universal stories with very believable characters. It's very genuine, very authentic. And as you mentioned before, also the landscape plays a huge role in creating this asexual narrative about Nordic stories. So I totally agree with your comment, Christoph. That's my reaction when I see Nordic films. But I really hope you can fulfill your dream to come to Australia very soon, as soon as this, you know, pandemic will allow us to travel again.
I can imagine that. I really would love to go there, and I think that really, you know, we have to, you know, hopefully that in a few months' time everything will be hopefully safe and sound. But it's been quite surreal. I mean, I think the whole world has been experiencing a very kind of surreal time, you know, during the last 16, 17 months or so.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't agree more. Christoph, let's talk about the 2021 program of the Scandinavia Film Festival here in Australia, which includes several international festival favorites and award winners with 20 Australian premieres, which is a good number. So highlights include the festival opener, Jeanette Nordahl's Wildland, Games People Play from Finland, a new provocative drama, Disco, and from Iceland, The County, which is the follow-up to the global hit Rams. Give us an overview of the Icelandic section of the festival, Christoph.
I think it's a good combination of films. You mentioned The County, which is the third film by Grímur Hákonarson. He did, of course, their award-winning film Rams that was had its international premiere in Cannes in 2015. And, of course, Rams has been remade in Australia. I would love to see the Australian remake with Sam Neill. But we had those five Icelandic films, and I said before, it's a really, I think, a good combination. We have a very kind of feel-good film titled Agnes Joy by Silja Högsdóttir. It's a really interesting, believable, genuine, beautiful, actually, story. It's about this kind of relationship, this kind of relationship between a mother and a daughter, and it's done in a very unique kind of way, and it's very kind of it's dialogue driven, and you can really sense how, that the characters and the actors in that particular film really enjoyed their time doing the film. And it really has this beautiful kind of relationship, a complex relationship between a daughter and a mother. But it's highly recommendable. And it was quite successful in Iceland at the box office back in 2019. And then we have The Garden, which is the new film by Ragnar Brason. I'm not sure whether you've seen his earlier films, like Children and Parents. They were quite good, and they were actually shown in Australia also back in, I think it was in 2007 and 2008. And that's based on one of his plays, because he's been directing stage plays as well. And Garden is this kind of a film version of one of his stage play. And it really has also an interesting story about the kind of conflict or a cultural difference as a subject matter. And then we have a film that you will just laugh your socks off. It's called The Last Fishing Trip. And if someone would ask me to pitch it to you, I would say it's like Sideways meets Hangover, but just in a kind of Icelandic kind of way. And it's funny in that respect, because it's been remade in Bulgaria, and it's going to be remade in some other countries as well. And it's actually what's fun. And with that particular film, you will just have a good, you will just have a great time. And it's what I like about that film is it has an ensemble cast of great Icelandic actors, and it's actually based on what the filmmakers themselves have experienced themselves during fishing. So everything that you see in that film, actually, well, I'm not going to say off the record, it really happened to them in real life as well. And then we have Grandma Hofi, and that's also like a very nice, feel-good kind of film. It's actually with two of our really famous actors that are quite known in Iceland. And what I like about that film is it's actually a film about older people in their early 70s. And it's actually this woman, a very strong woman, that really feels that, the system has actually swindled or has basically done her wrong in that sense, that she decides she's going to make a stand, fight against the system, and she will do this kind of bank robbery, but we will actually root for her. And it's a really nice, nice film. And I think everyone should see that as well. So as I said before, we have Agnes Joy, we have The Garden, The Last Fishing Trip, Grandma Hofi, and The Country. And The Country also is very strong. It has this really strong female character. And that's what I love about Kirimir Hakonasan. He really creates this interesting, rich character. And it's about this woman as well who are in her early 50s, who is actually makes a stand and fights against the system. And what I love about Kirimir is that he hasn't done it yet, but most of his film projects are actually based on his own idea. So he never adapts it from a novel or novella or something, but maybe that could happen in the near future. But so far, he's been just like creating his own kind of stories that you can easily relate to. And I think that the characters that he has established in The Country and Rams are really unique. And also like what I said earlier on, that you have these kind of Nordic stories, really original characters that could really, and they cross borders because you can relate to their actions and all that. And this is the beauty, I would say, if you would ask me, the beauty of Nordic cinema in general.
Well, thank you so much, Christoph, for your overview of Nordic cinema and for sharing with us your experience of Nordic cinema. It's very much appreciated. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Christian. It's been a pleasure. And who knows? Maybe we'll meet in person. When I'm in Australia, you never know.
Why not? The Scandinavian Film Festival runs nationally in Australia in July, and dates vary according to the COVID restrictions in place in different cities. I've been talking to Christoph Wiemeyer, the festival manager of the Icelandic Film Center in Reykjavik, and I'm Christiana Palmieri for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.